Hello everyone, and we're back with another podcast. It's unbelievable, but the bitter truth is that the misogynist mullahs ruling Iran are the world's chief executioner of women. This is what we're going to discuss today and examine its unseen or untold causes. Before heading to our Q&A, I would like to inform our new friends who are just joining our podcast series that the NCRI Women's Committee is actively involved in providing information on the plight of Iranian women and urging women's rights organizations to take action. The NCRI Women's Committee is in constant contact with international NGOs, the UN Women, the CSW, and the Human Rights Council to muster support for Iranian women's struggle for freedom and equality. Why do we say the Iranian regime is the chief executioner of women in the world?
Because there is no other country executing so many women every year. Of course, in this podcast, we are focusing on the death sentences carried out for ordinary women charged with murder, drug trafficking, and etc. But the mullahs executed tens of thousands of women in the 1980s when they wanted to consolidate the rule and eliminate all opposition to the regime. In the early days of the dark crackdown, which was in June 1981, they executed teenage girls without even knowing their identities. They published their photos in the daily newspapers so that their families would go and identify them. The regime even asked the families to pay for the expense of the bullets used to kill the victims. These young women had committed no crime but selling opposition newspapers or participating in an opposition rally. The trend continued until 1988, when they carried out the massacre of 30,000 political prisoners within a few months in prisons across the country. Now, the existing evidence suggests that only a few prisoners survived of the women's wards in all prisons. In some places, no women survived at all.
Who were these women and why were they executed?
These women were mostly supporters of the opposition People's Mujahideen Organization of Iran, or the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, known as MEK. After the 1979 revolution in Iran, this Muslim opposition movement attracted hundreds of thousands of women from all ages and all walks of life. It provided equal opportunities for women, and so women found it an ideal place to fight for their rights and the rights of all the people. This doesn't concern us for this podcast, but I would like to point out very briefly that today the leadership of this opposition force is entirely made of women.
It's very sad to hear the crimes against humanity committed in Iran, especially when not many in the world know about it. But returning to the subject, could you please tell us, what is the rate of execution of women in Iran?
Sure. In answer to your question, I would refer you to a pamphlet called Execution of Women in Iran. You can find it on our website, thewomen.ncr-iran.org. The pamphlet is in the Publications menu in the Documents tab. This pamphlet contains a list of names and dates of these executions, plus the source of the information. Based on this data, which we have collected since September 2013, the Iranian regime executes an average of 15 women every year. Last year in 2021, they executed 18 women. And at some point, the execution surged with 7 executions carried out in just 1 month from the 22nd of November to the 21st of December. All that happening under the regime's new so-called president, Ebrahim Raisi, who is a mass murderer and was on the death committees that carried out the 1988 massacre that I already told you about.
Let's open up a bit the cases of women executed nowadays. Who are they and why are they executed?
As you might imagine, these women often come from the most deprived sectors of Iranian society. Many of them are victims of forced child marriages. Many are victims of poverty. Some commit murder in self-defense in the face of domestic violence and vicious battering by their husbands. There are also cases of self-defense against rape. The point is that the Iranian judiciary does not recognize any rights for women. They don't care about the motive behind murder. They just sentence them to death. These women do not have access to defense attorney. Their own statements are not heard well in the court. In a word, these women are the most oppressed in society and before the regime's laws.
It sounds as if the mullah's law is more focused on protecting violent men instead of women's right to defend themselves.
That's exactly how they want it to work. That's why we call this regime misogynist or misogynistic. All the laws, the job market, the education system, the health system, everything is male-dominated. Look at the rising number of honor killings and femicides in Iran. This is a product of a patriarchal outlook promoted right from the top and institutionalized in the laws.
Can you briefly explain and review these laws to refresh our listeners' memory?
Sure, of course. You see, when looking at the clerical regime and the plight of women in Iran, we must bear in mind that women are considered half-humans or subhumans by this medieval regime. For those who are interested in more details, I would refer them to our website, women.ncr-iran.org, the publications menu and the documents tab. Look for institutionalized misogyny in the laws of the mullah's regime ruling Iran. But very briefly, I would like to stress that the regime's constitution views women only as mothers who have to raise their children to serve as the regime's ideological slaves. The constitution considers women alongside men and not equal to them. They are not seen as human beings who must enjoy specific social, civil, and political rights, and the constitution doesn't even bother to mention that. This is why women are deprived of all rights and protection in their family life. There is no government support for them when they are battered at home. They do not have the right to divorce, and when they are imprisoned, their testimonies are not heard, and they do not have access to a lawyer.
So what I understand from what you just said is that poverty makes parents wed their daughters underage. The child bride is then caught in a circle of violence and abuses. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Then, in some instances, the girl ends up killing her husband while trying to defend herself.
No, nothing is wrong with the chain of events that you just explained. What I can add to it is that battered women and victims of domestic violence in Iran have no form of support, neither from the government and nor from any NGO. I read from one expert a couple of years ago that there were only 34 safe shelters for battered women in Iran. That's only one safe shelter for every province, the whole province, because Iran has 31 provinces, and one of those provinces includes the capital, Tehran, with a population of around 13 million people. So Tehran might have four shelters, but what is that compared to 6-7 million women in the city? So you can see that a woman who's battered at home has nowhere to go. If she goes to the police, they advise her to go back home. If she files a complaint, the judge returns her home to her violent husband. You see, that's how some women end up killing their brutal husbands in self-defense when they get caught up in a really violent fight at home.
I don't understand. Why don't they get divorced?
The divorce process in Iran is a very difficult and lengthy ordeal for a woman. While men can abandon their wives and divorce them unilaterally, even without informing them, women don't enjoy the right to divorce. They must have their husband's consent to fight for divorce, and even then, as I said, it is a lengthy process where women have to give up many of their rights to gain their freedom from their torturous marriage. One of the political prisoners who spent time with murder convicts in various prisons once wrote, and I quote, "I learned that the large percentage of them had murdered their husbands instantly or on a premeditated plan after years of being humiliated, insulted, battered, and even tortured by them, and because of being deprived of their right to divorce. Although they consider themselves criminals, but they are convinced that if any of their repeated appeals for divorce had been granted, they would not have committed such a crime.
So what is a woman in this condition left to do? I can't bear to even think of anyone in that situation. No choice over your marriage, your life, or even getting a divorce. I can't imagine. Do they really have no other options?
Nothing whatsoever. And sadly, as our listeners might have heard, many Iranian girls and women end up committing suicide when they have nowhere to turn to receive support or claim for justice.
Now, I wonder what happens to the woman convicted of murder. What is the legal process they go through, and how do they end up getting executed while they really are the true victim?
Let me give you an example to show how unfair the legal process is, and that's the case of a young woman, 24 years old, Zeynep Sekonvand. Zeynep Sekonvand had been forced into marriage at the age of 15. Then, in 2012, when she was 17, she had been coerced into confessing to the murder of her husband. Her husband was said to be very brutal. He constantly beat her. Then there was a brother-in-law who had raped Zeynep, and Zeynep said that he was the one who murdered her husband. But as the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, said, she was not adequately heard at the court. That, plus the confessions extracted from her under torture, led to a death sentence. She did not have access to a lawyer and no protection by law. So after 6 years of detention, she was finally hanged on October 2nd, 2018, in the central prison of Urmia in northwestern Iran. This is an emblematic case showing the injustice women go through during the legal processes in Iranian courts.
I also recall the story of Rehana Jabari back in 2014, the young woman who killed a government official who attempted to rape her.
Yes, Rehana's was also a tragic case where you could see the travesty of justice. She was an interior designer, only 19 years old. Then one of her clients, who later was found to be a senior official of the intelligence ministry, attempted to rape her. She resisted his attempt and killed the man in self-defense, but the court did not listen to her defense and convicted her of murder. She was detained for 7 years under torture. They wanted her to cooperate with the regime and make false confessions to wash the hands of their intelligence agent. But she did not give in to any of those pressures and intimidations and was finally hanged on October 25th, 2014. There's also another case worth noting, if I may.
Yes, of course, please.
Yes, that's the case of Zahra Ismaili, a 42-year-old mother of two. Zahra's husband was also one of the director generals of the Ministry of Intelligence. He routinely mistreated and battered his wife and children. He had even threatened to kill his wife and attempted to assault his own teenage daughters sexually. So he was a brutal husband and father. Because of such brutalities, his daughter killed him with the help of her brother. Now, Zahra claimed responsibility for the murder to save her teenage daughter, and everyone knew that, but the judiciary ordered her execution. Now, another sad thing in the case of Zahra was that she was going to be hanged after 16 other men. So, as she was waiting for her turn, she suffered a fatal heart stroke before reaching the gallows. But the prison guards had no mercy. They hanged her lifeless body on the 17th of February, 2021.
What can people do to help in the face of the rising number of executions in Iran under Ebrahim Raisi?
Well, the NCRI, the National Council of Resistance of Iran, which the Women's Committee is a part of, opposes the death penalty and wants to see it abolished in Iran. We have repeatedly urged the various UN agencies, including the UN Secretary General, the Human Rights Council, the High Commissioner for Human Rights, and the Security Council, also the European Union and its member states, to strongly condemn the growing number of executions in Iran and to take immediate action to save the lives of death row prisoners in Iran. It is really important that the people around the world act through the governments and the NGOs to hold the Iranian regime accountable for its crimes, especially against women. We believe that all economic and political relations with the Iranian regime must be made conditional on the improvement of the situation of human rights and women's rights in Iran.
Okay, we'll leave you with that. We seek your support for the cause of human rights and women's rights in Iran. Don't forget to write your comments and ideas for the NCRI Women's Committee. Our next podcast will be out in 2 weeks. Until then, we wish you good luck and happy days.